Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Okay, let's read from Psalm 27. And I'll just take a verse from there. Then we'll do a short Bible study. We'll take verse 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 27. I rejoice at your word as one that has found great spoil. Hallelujah. The word of God is light, which means if I'm in darkness, what I need is the word of God. If you have been praying for 3 years about a matter and you've not gotten the answer you are looking for, maybe it's time to open the book. Some things are not subject to prayer. They are subject to the voice of God. Actually, prayer becomes more potent when the mind of God is clear, when the mind of God is revealed. So we have a generation now that does not prioritize this. They prefer to go for some other expedition. And I believe in the ministry of prayer. I'm a person of prayer. But you see, the prayer must go hand in hand with the word of God. Huh? Now, I realize that there's a kind of discipline you need to sit and study. It's different from the one for prayer. Huh? You agree? It's different. Because you may just be reading a verse, but you've only read it halfway. Halfway. You are not done one verse, and your phone will blink. So, it's serious. A generation that, and maybe one day I will come again, like I always look for trouble, and I will give you the microphone and ask you to explain to me individually, each and every one of you, the foundational doctrines of the scripture. Because if we don't settle that one, we may be laboring in vain. Paul spoke about a particular church. He said, I am surprised at how you are so easily moved away from the faith. So easily. Paul was there, he was teaching them, then Paul traveled, and the moment he traveled, you know, they started doing something else. So Paul was asking, I'm surprised. Well, I just traveled, like, and you guys are doing something else. I think it's a human problem. It's a human problem. So, let us look into the word of God. And I want you to look into the scriptures with a humble heart. Because most times, we gloss over the keys. The things that can change our lives. They are there. They are open. But we are missing them out. Jesus was asked to minister to a man who was blind. And Jesus made a very powerful statement. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In Yoruba language, say, Emini mole aye. This man is blind, but I am here, which means he cannot go back this way. I am the light of the world. The sun is still shining because of my will. I want it to shine. But some people trust the sun more than they trust God. Some people believe that the sun will come out tomorrow. More than they trust the one who the son obeys his command. So we must develop a new attitude at the word of God. Don't look at the book as though it's meant for pastors. The book is not. That's why we printed many copies. And even in your school, we gave you Gideon's Bible. But it seems that when people don't pay for something, they don't know the value. Alright, so Psalm 27. Some of you are looking for a prayer point in Psalm 27, but let's do a short Bible study. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Let's take verse 3. Though an host should encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 4. Beautiful scripture. I will be confident in one thing. Huh? So what is that one thing? Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What the man is telling us is the secret to why he will never lose a battle. Do you see why many times when you say you are praying, you are doing 21 days, you are putting the cart before the horse? In next month, we are going to start our fasting and prayer towards the new year. I'm telling you why some people are doing the right things the wrong way. I'm not saying you should not fast. In fact, a healthy Christian should pray at least 1 hour every day. A healthy Christian. So don't be lazy and say God sees your heart. Start, go and learn how to pray. Eh? Don't say this is Lagos. The people in the days of Paul, they were also busy. Eh? Look at what the man said. He said, when the enemies surround him, when they surround him, and they're about to eat him up and eat his flesh, there are enemies that feed on flesh. That means that they will not stop until they see you put in the ground. That's the meaning of eat your flesh. They will not stop. Please, are you with me this morning? They will not stop. Look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I what? So the strength of this man is in two things. Number one is desire. Number two, where it directs his passion and energy to. He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty and to inquire in his temple. How many things did he talk about? Three. I want you to look at this scripture. This is just a short Bible study. I want you to think about it. This is the secret of the man who was referred to as a man after God's heart. Are we together? Now look at this. He said, one thing have I desired. This is his response to warfare. That when I become so pressed, when I become overwhelmed, I pack my things, I go to church. I go to church. I sit in front. For those who are, some of you, since you've been going to church from your, in the days of our Anglican church, you have never sat in front. Because you know you will sleep. And you don't want anybody to come and be saying, sister, what's the problem? Because per adventure, you don't want anybody to come and tap you and say, bro, listen to the message. In those days at the barracks, we have some ushers with Bilala. You know what they call Bilala? Cane. If you sleep, you can't try it. Especially if you're a young boy. You sleep. Those ushers are also soldiers. In the, what do you call their, the church inside the barracks. The Protestant church. You can't sleep. Who are you? That's his own work. That's why the government is paying him. Want to sleep? Want to sleep? You better go to those other churches. In this barracko, if you do anyhow, We will not even say that you are inside church. We will deal with you. You left your house. You bloody civilian. Came into barrack. And you are now sleeping in the church. God have mercy on your soul. Let's look at that scripture one more time. He said, though a host should encamp around me. Now, I'm interested in verse 3. Because verse 3 seems to define what it means to be overwhelmed. He said, though an host should encamp. You know, do you know what it means to be encamped? They surround you. You look straight up your rent. You look to the left, the threat of divorce. You look this way, as maybe your mom called you, there's an issue at home. The money they need is more than your house rent. Then you look behind you. Your office is saying, oh, maybe we need to lay off some people. We are not making profit. So you have this, you are encamped. Now, whatever makes a man, a full-grown man, to be weeping in public, you know that's a serious matter. Huh? It's a serious matter. And we men, you people don't appreciate us enough. Because we cry many times inside. But if we don't show it, so that you people will not lose hope. Huh? But whatever makes a man to say, I am encamped, that means the man knows there's a big problem. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and when you ask the person, so what do you think is the way out? The person says, I don't know. This is a guy that seems to always have the answer to every question. But all of a sudden, this brother is overwhelmed and he really cannot say, this is the way to go. He said, though I be encamped by a host. Though I be encamped, give me that scripture. Though I be encamped, though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Now, here he explains to us Satan's primary strategy. And this is at the root, this is the reason why most spiritual battles are lost. When Satan really wants to take you out, he doesn't go straight for your jugular. The first thing he does is he threatens you. The moment you panic and fear, he has gotten you. So the whole idea about the encampment was to introduce an element called the spirit of fear. Please, are you with me? Now, you may look at... Are you with me now? Now, you may look at fear and say, everybody is afraid. Excuse me, you are playing with fire. David is talking to us here. He said, the goal behind being surrounded is so that you panic. You become afraid. All of a sudden, your confidence in the Lord is not so resolute anymore. You look at some of the challenges that you are going through and you are almost trying not to ask, sorry, does God really exist? When somebody is living in sin and is having a lot of issues, they say it's because he's a sinner. But when a Christian is going through the same challenge, what is now your reason? We can't say, like, this person is a fervent Christian, so how do you explain the challenges he or she may be going through? And David is telling us that Satan's ultimate weapon against any believer is fear. Satan will not tell you not to believe what God said, but he will keep fear beside you. So that the day you pray, and after praying and agreeing with your brother on the phone that his mother will be healed, then they call you 1 hour later and say it's like she's not, they have to put her on oxygen. Have you ever prayed so hard and then suddenly began to wonder, does God even hear our prayers? Or are we just playing? Eh? Somebody say they play. Is God, when we say Father in the name of Jesus, is God really listening? Because what brings fear at the root of it is that sense of we are not even sure if God is listening. Because the word of God says, before you call, I will answer. We've been praying for 3 weeks. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Cast not away. Satan always targets your resolute trust, confidence in the Lord, by giving you experiences that do not match up with your spiritual reality. And David was talking about this, and he captured it by referring to it as an encampment. And please let me tell you, the reason why you may be encamped may not be because you are sinning. I need to address that. It may not be that you are sinning. It may just be the time. It may just be the time of the year when you need to be encamped. So don't always think, oh, the reason why you are facing this problem is because you are in sin. If you are in sin, God may not necessarily tell you by giving you problems. He has His word. He has the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Israelites never lost a battle as long as they were living righteously? The moment they started patronizing other gods and other idols, they started having issues. But it was not that the prophets were not telling them. But it's because for some reason, it's easier to patronize those idols that won't ask you to come to church every Sunday. They don't ask you to give tithe. They don't ask you to... what else do we ask you to do in church? Join every service. Join the workforce. These other idols, just come. Baba, what does the oracle need? You give us 7 white apparel. All those things that those apprentices normally wear, those white apparel, you didn't ask that, where are they getting it from? Eh? We need to change the apparel. We've been using this one now for 1 year, 2 years. So the gods need... We need white apparel, shiny one, cotton or linen. Is it the gods that wear it? But when you bring it, when you bring the white linen, you brought it to the gods. Is that not so? Talk to me now. You brought it to the gods. But the man of God, sorry. The owner of the shrine, we receive it on behalf of the gods. And we tell you, the gods bless you. The gods will be with you. As you are going to market on Ekedi, you will experience a lot of profit. You say amen. Thank you, Baba. But those gods, they don't require you to come and be attending church every week. You only come when you have problem. But God requires devotion. You see? That's the only problem with God. God likes devotion. Because even when you are being created, the scripture says, we were created for His pleasure. That means the only reason why you are still alive is because He likes seeing you. Are you here now? God still likes seeing your face. The day God changes mind, you die. When I was in children's church, there was a song they taught us. And that was the easiest way to understand the Bible, your purpose in life. People don't like that song again. They like to sing all those noisy songs with strong beat, but we don't know what they are saying. But this song, I was taught, and some of you know the song. That song would say, "For Thou hast created all things, and for His pleasure they are." Now, I have a friend, Femi, way back. Anytime we sing this song, he has a gift of prophecy. In fact, he started prophesying before when I was still learning work. Every time we sing this song, then there's another song that will be sung. And once they sing that song, Femi will begin to prophesy. Church was sweet too in those days. Hey. There was one song we used to sing. Once we sing, "And they are well created." Then you will hear, "Keep me shining, Lord. Keep me shining, Lord. In all I think or say, that the world may see Christ's victory in me, and learn to love Him too." When you hear that, you will just hear from one corner, "Eli Marina Malia Saida." Hey, it was a good music blend. It was fantastic. Femi is a doctor today. I'm a pastor. He's a consultant at University of Jos. But he was blessed with the gift of prophecy as a child. He's still a Christian. God wants devotion. Please say devotion. Devotion. God is very jealous. Your very existence was to give Him pleasure. So instead of you to be praying, God, show me my purpose. Show me my purpose. No. No. That's why he's not talking. Go and learn devotion, sitting with him. Learn how to sit with him. And you can be there with your guitar for 3 hours. We behold the beauty of the Lord. We inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. We behold the beauty of the Lord. We inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. Listen, the most profound things about God, they are in simple things. And that's what I'm showing you this morning. If you want your prayer life to be very powerful, learn how to come without prayer agenda. Learn how to stay in prayer because of him, not because of you. Not because you want to charge your prayer life. That charging is his own job. Don't worry. But I want you around. You see, I don't know how God does it. I can't stand it. I can't stand somebody who uses me and dumps me. But God is used to people just coming around only when they have problem. There are people that don't fast unless there's a problem. Yes or yes? So God wants us to understand devotion because the power of your prayer life, the power of heaven to defend you must be precipitated on the fact that you are a, what do you call that kind of, there's a word in HR. Where somebody say an experienced hire, a talent. So the company is coming to you to recruit you because they've seen you on LinkedIn and they know you are someone they want on their team. Not because you are sending messages to people on LinkedIn, I want to work. Now, let me give you a secret. This is not part of my message, but if it helps any of you. Instead, before you go to somebody's LinkedIn page and you are hounding them, because many of them have blocked you. Before you go and hound them that, oh, you want to work. Go to their website. This one is for somebody now. It's not part of the message, but it will help you. Go to their website and look through their website. Maybe they are into interiors or they are into IT. Whatever it is that they do. Look at the website. Please, are you here now? Please, can you hear me? Don't switch off. This is for you. When you look at the website, now, look at what you think is missing from what they say that they do. Are you with me? Please, are you with me now? Look at what you think is missing. Can you provide that thing? Let me tell you, even if the MD says we are not recruiting, but if you have a very sensible proposition, he will ask you to come for a conversation. Now, I want you to know that you are not the only one sending him strange messages. So if he's going to be reading your message, it better be worth his time. Oh, good morning, sir. I was just looking through your website and I noticed your organization is into ABCD. But I've seen your products and I noticed they are lacking in the A part of that objective. I am an experienced this, with that. I would like to work for you and I can help you solve this problem because of my experience with ABC, UI, UX. I've worked with, I've done a project with MTN. I've done this with Airtel. If you don't mind, I'd like to come around. Come now. Because he has people in that team who for whatever reason didn't talk about that problem. Every CEO wants a problem solver, not a person who needs a job. Are you with me now? God is like that. If you like, pray from today to tomorrow. Only those who have problem-solving skills will remain employed. Are we together? Look, give me my scripture. In verse 4. Let's wrap this up. I'm going to preach my shortest message today. To the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm a changed man. I am born again. Hallelujah. It's not by how many words you speak. Praise God, I'm born again. I'm happy in the Lord. You don't know a song you used to sing in those days. One thing I want you to know, my Lord is good. That's why I'm happy, happy in the Lord. Don't worry. When I share grace now, you know. This guy said, everything about him is captured in verse 4. I have only one desire, and I pursue only one thing. Jesus will say to us, one thing is what? Is needful. The first thing that the man of God began to talk about was that he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. Why would somebody make such a decision? Now, before you say you are busy, this man is a king. Because some people use the job that God gave them as an excuse why they can't show up. And God is laughing at you. If Satan hijacks your destiny. Do you think God does anything just like that? There was a parable that maybe one of these days will reveal it on Wednesday. On our Wednesday service. A tree was planted. And for many years the tree did not bring forth fruit. And the Lord came and said, cut it down. If you come for the second service, I will talk to you about the messages. How to negotiate with God. That is the title of the message. You can change God's mind. I will tell you there's a strategy to it. Even though most people who did it ended up messing up. But some people got it right. I'm talking about the spirit of intercession. How to pray and change God's mind. This person will not die. And you pray. Second service. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? How to change God's mind. When God says, this one, nothing again. And you say, you can change your mind. And you bring forth your reasons. Aha. This man is a king. This man was always fighting battles, taking new territories. Yet the man said his desire was not even in those things. His desire was to sit in the house of God. Now, why would somebody make such a statement and we don't appreciate it? Because today, when you talk about the house of God, when you talk about the church, what most people think is the church of God or what a church should look like, is not what the church is. When you go into, how many of you have ever been into a shrine? This Hare Krishna shrine. If you've entered once. When you enter, now some of you are laughing. They have to bait for you. You have to bait as an outsider. Before you enter the shrine. Even if I have had my bath before coming. Please. Did you hear what she said? She said, for you to enter the temple, you must bait. Even if you are the president. Since the day we have been shouting and saying the problem of the church, have you ever heard those people going there complaining? They are happily baiting. Are we together? You go to the mosque. I'm angry. I want to pray. Esther. You need to go and wash. Wash your leg, wash your head, wash. Abi? Ablution. Even if you are the president of the country, will they skip it for you? Okay. So you came to church. See, that church, they sing too much. The praise worship is too long. The message is too long. Do you know that when they are fouled, the imam is preaching, nobody gets out? I was watching a live service of the Hindu worshippers. You know me, I like researching strange things. On YouTube, I don't know if people are looking at online, but me, I look for strange things. It was a life service. The priest sat, crossed his leg. I don't know what he was saying. 5 hours. Broadcast service. I just see the people too sitting, facing him. Nobody got up. So when David says, I desire to come and sit in God's temple, what was his idea of what a church should look like? Number one, the church is a place of God's presence. Which means that the kind of songs we sing must be the kind of songs that get God's attention to show up. The church must be a mystical, spiritual place. When you come in, you know you are no longer outside. You are inside the church. The price to maintain that level of aura, which we cannot provide, is why we have so many things to make us look trendy, make us look modern. The guy in the Hindu religion or Buddhist, he doesn't care 2 cents about what you think. If you came here with your legs, you have to adjust. David said, my desire is to always be in God's house. Why would David make a statement like that? Because there is no day he comes to the house of God and God is not speaking. It's not God is speaking. God has something to say. Whether it's from the teaching of the Torah, the word of God, or from an experience, a prophetic experience. Or is it like when David will pick his harp or his guitar, and when he begins to worship, he will also begin to prophesy. For the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That was a prophetic word that came from David himself. Most likely, he must have been somewhere in the temple, sitting down by himself. I'm just playing. Or he could have been somewhere in his house, just still carrying around that same atmosphere of worship and honor. And he prophesied, he said, the Lord said to my Lord. The Lord said, how can God speak to his own Lord? How can Father, Son? And when Jesus came, he made reference to that prophetic declaration that David was talking about him. How can you hear some things if you are not in the spirit? There's something about church that we need to recover. The church should be built as a temple where 3 main activities take place. Number one, where God speaks, where men pray, and where men worship. What did I say? Where God speaks, where men pray, where men worship. That's all. Any other thing is an aside. They are not so important. If I want to watch choreography, I'll go to art center. Instead, I prefer to go there. Not on Sunday morning. If I want a comedian, and I love comedian, I probably would have been a comedian if I wasn't a pastor. I would have made it since. All this time I'm begging you people. If I talk for 1 hour, I will collect my money. Don't play with me. Just give me my money. In fact, you pay me 50% before I come. But there's a difference between a pastor and a comedian. The pastor must have the utterance. The people of God must have the utterance to beckon to God with their sound. So when I stand before God and somebody stands and says it is time for service, the atmosphere must be triggered in a way such that there is an awareness of who God is. So when we stand before him, I can say, you are changing everything in obedience to Christ, transforming everything in obedience to Christ. You must ask God for the tongue of a worshiper. You can't worship him in the flesh. There is a reason why David said, I like to always be in the presence of the Lord. Because every time he came, something happened to him. It's not all this lazy thing. Service must be for 1 hour. Hey, this is not Catholic church. I have reverend fathers who are my friends. Eh? And I have reverend fathers who are friends who speak in tongues. Huh? Who speak in tongues more than you. Who work miracles. Even among them, they are not the same. Among themselves, some are more anointed than the others. What are you talking about? We have lost something, which is why today, if a pastor is not preaching to appeal to your emotions and to how you can make more money on that, and how you can get accumulate the things of this world, it's not a good man of God. Your pastor should be able to tell you how to find your way into God's presence. There is a tongue for the worshippers. David was a worshipper. He was a man after God's heart, not because he was so holy, but because he was always around. Every time God looked around, yeah, David is here again. Always there. Consistency. Devotion. He wasn't waiting for whether the pastor came or not. If the pastor like, he should not come to church. David is here. If the keyboardist refuses to play, David will carry his own, he comes with his own guitar. You're changing everything. In obedience to Christ, transforming everything. In obedience to Christ, you can be there for 1 hour repeating that one line. Some of us are in a hurry to say things, that's why we can't pray. You have to learn how to stay with one word and keep stringing it. Until something happens. He said, this is my desire. Always to be in his presence. Give me that scripture. Say, this is my desire. He wasn't lying about it. He wasn't lying. You can't stand before God and lie. God. You are the seal of the age to come. You're changing it. In my life, when you stand before God, you must learn how to journey and how to travel with Him. Don't be in the hurry to start speaking in tongues and deceiving yourself. Settle down, take a journey. If you are not ready to wait that long, go. The deep things of God are deep for a reason. You won't find them on the surface. You keep digging and digging and digging until you find the treasure in the ground. Christians, we have lost that heart and we have good excuse for it. We have good excuse for it. Oh, we must recover the wells. We must recover the wells. Say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. David matched his pursuit with his desire. Knowing the Bible alone will not keep you, will not keep Satan away from you in this season. Please hear what I'm saying. Knowing the Bible from Genesis to Revelation will not keep Satan away from you. The only thing that will ensure that you remain in Christ is when you have had an experience with God that you are not willing to negotiate. So many of us have known God's presence. Some of us are here, we've prayed in our rooms and we encountered the Lord. We felt His presence so close to us, around us, but we don't have that experience again. It's not that you became more matured, you lost it. You didn't become more matured. Then, you know, we have risen to a stature. Which stature? You lost what you had. This is a king. This is the president of a nation. Saying that before God, before his official duties, it starts with God. You can't be busier than Daniel. Who had specific times that he had to pray, no matter the business meeting. And if you think that you are busy, you don't know busy. At least you are not as busy as, what's this woman that used to be at a director in First Bank? Huh? Awoshika. I listen to her online. I'm like, for real? For real? Wow. I hope our children know the value of their mother. I do. I sincerely hope so. I watched one of her videos where she said she doesn't go into any business meeting wearing high heels. She goes with flat shoes. In case the conversation wants to change, she will remove her shoes, make contact with the earth, and say, wherever the soul... Oh my God. I saw that. I started praying. I said, oh my God. This generation is an old one. It's not today's one. What are you talking about? If you like be woke, you will only lose God's power and presence. Because God will not change his rule. He's a very old God. He's an ancient God. If you want me, you must dig the ground. You must learn how to sit. Take away your wristwatch. Turn off your phone. The next 3 hours, you are not living here. You say, this today now, I want to pray. And you put on your phone. You put on your phone, all your 3 lines, 4 lines. And the devil is so smart. Oh, that customer that has not been picking your call will suddenly call you. That moment when you're about to break through in the spirit, you just hear, if your phone is like mine, it will call the name of the person. Sweetheart calling. Say, God, 1 minute. Hello, MJ. Yeah. Bon pray, lower. Okay, no problem. You still need your wife's permission to pray or to continue to pray. Because if she has said, come home now. If you want to pray, call all those who are directly tied to your network. I won't be available for next chance. I won't be available. Turn off your phone. Put your work clock in front of you. This is 12 p.m. We'll be here till 3. Don't just pray. Sing to him. Talk to him. It is a relationship. And put your jotter and your pen beside you because he will start talking. Because he's good. But before you shout God down, can you calm down? Let's start when he talks. We must recover the disciplines that our fathers had. David said, give me that scripture. He said, these are the things I will seek after. The first thing he said here, he said that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. David was willing to move his property out of the palace. Come and sit down here. So when you come, you see the priest in one corner. You see David doing Bible study. Is that not the king? Say, don't disturb him more. You will think he's doing office work. Rema. That's a king. Meanwhile, you, the small money God gave you now, you can't even shout hallelujah again. You can't shout hallelujah. All of a sudden, you've lost your tongue. You say, we have grown in stature. You lost the stature you had. You've lost it. That's why many of us cannot, even though God says come boldly, we can't. Because we know we chose other things above him. We know. You can afford to come late to church for a meeting, but you can stay up at night, 11 p.m., 12, 1, chatting with a brother. You think that's what will convince him? Huh? Or you don't know when people get married, they stop talking. Some of you don't know that when you get married, you stop talking. Yes. Okay, don't worry. Go and marry first. Then come back. You don't know that all those things, sweet nonsense, nobody talks about here anymore. Because then we are campaigning. Now we have won election. We don't talk for what? Oh, my sweetheart. Say, landlord called me. He said he has increased rent. Those are the kind of things we talk about. Landlord said he has increased rent. They said this one is sick. I'm rushing to the school to check on him. Those are the things we talk about. Or if you are in one part of the world, I won't mention the country. When you call your wife at home, how are you? Say, how are you? Ask everybody, say, sorry, is there light? Is there light? Those are the things we talk about. Not like, oh, I wish you were here now. That's MTN.
It's MTN. It's MTN 5G. When you marry, then you will now know. So you better find your joy in the Lord now, and begin to seek Him while it may be found.
Yeah.
Because there is a time where God cannot be found. Marriage is responsibility. If you don't like responsibility, it's not a sin not to marry. You can choose not to marry, and you will be blessed of God. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed. A old king with many wives said, my desire is to sit in God's presence. We need that revived generation that do not see church as a burden, but as a place where they are free to be themselves. They can take a corner, sit down on Monday or on Tuesday, and they are just there in God's presence. You do Bible study, you sleep on the floor, you wake up, you pray, and you are there 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. When God wanted to pick the person that will give birth to Jesus, He didn't go to the market. He went to a woman, a young woman who was always in the temple. Give me that scripture. He said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So when I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord, one of my primary tasks is to behold the beauty and the glory of the Lord cast upon my soul. When I'm praying, oh my God. When you pray in the spirit, you must allow the Lord breathe upon your mind to the point that the beauty of God's glory is now so impressed upon your soul, your problems become so little. But this takes time. So you have to learn the art of, first of all, staying with Him. And when you stay with Him, you are not in a hurry. You can just come in with a song and you just begin to sing, you are wonderful to me, wonderful to me. You don't know, you only know the time the prayer will start. You don't know where you will end. So you can take some time to sing about how wonderful He is. You are wonderful to me. You don't need a keyboard, you don't need a drum. Your crooked voice is just fine. Wonderful to me. You can sit in that point and you are just there. Anybody who sees you will say, I came in, I saw her singing. They will go somewhere, come back. You are still singing. We are just preparing for the prayer. The prayer has started. But it's part of your own church mind tells you that until you start praying, you have not started praying. What God registers is not just your prayer. It registers when you came. Every activity that draws His attention is recognized. Learn how to do vigils, night vigils, and you are not praying, you are just worshiping. And yes, I still believe in prayers. I'm telling you how to put power, glory back into your spirit. This man said, I want to behold. That means every time he sits in God's presence, the task is what? To behold. The agenda is what? To behold. Everything he's doing is to what? Behold. That means the prayer doesn't end until he has beheld. So if you said you prayed for 30 minutes, if you say you prayed for 30 minutes, it's good. But I hope you met with the Lord. I hope you met with the Lord. Give me that scripture. Now, the final aspect here is where most of us miss it. We put the last one first to inquire. Most times when you find somebody that is praying so hard, he's trying to inquire. There's something he needs. Angel Michael knows. Angel Moroni. Angel Rafael. The angel of your village. And your local government. They've marked you. They know you. Anytime you are praying like this, it's because there's something. That you've never come just for the sake of coming. And you want God to, you want to tie God's hands until He talks. So they've marked you. Even me, they sent your name to me. I've marked you. So He said to inquire
in his temple. Now, let me tell you something. This is one of the blessedness of seeking the Lord. But look at the process flow. It started by his desire, seeking the Lord's presence and glory. Before he began to inquire, Lord, why do the rich prosper? Those of us who are serving you, why is it that we are struggling? The rich folks, these wicked people, they seem to get away with just anything. Me, if I lie or commit fornication, all hell will break loose. These wicked people, it's as if the more we pray against them, the more they are prospering. God, why? Because I'm a king, but even my own heart cannot handle it. That means there were people in the nation of Israel who seemed to be doing better than David. The only thing David had as an edge was that he was king. But David could not sleep with his two eyes closed because those guys are powerful. They can remove him overnight. So the guy went to the Lord. Why am I doing so much but seeing so little result? Then David came back with the answer. He said, the Lord took me and showed me their end. In other words, the end of a matter. The end of the matter is what you should be looking at. Huh? The man may be doing it for 50 years. Look at his end. These dry bones. He has no future. He has no hope. You will be with me in an eternity where all is available. Don't look at the things which are fading away. Look at the things which are eternal. It takes being in the presence of God for so long to make sense of the nonsense. So today, I come to lay this charge at your feet. Reorder your priorities when it comes to seeking God. Reorder your selfish motives. Only seek God now because he deserves it. Does it mean when you have some issues you will not pray? No, that's not what I'm saying. But the primary reason why we pray is to be with him. Hallelujah. Now, you may not believe it, but this will get you more answered prayers. In fact, the scripture says to us in Isaiah, it says, when you grow fat, then the yoke shall be broken. What does it mean? It was describing a fattened cow that was being used to plow the field. I'm talking about the scripture where you say, by the anointing, the yoke shall be broken. So Isaiah was describing a process where the cow or the animal cow begins to feed on the grass. It feeds on the word. It feeds on the word. He has these shackles around his neck to make him remain a slave. But he started feeding on the word. He started feeding on the word. It looked like a quiet process. Nothing was happening. But he started gaining weight. And at a point, it became impossible for him to remain bound. And the shackles broke. So, I'm telling you that there is a way to seek the Lord, feeding off his word. Not just you reading the part of the Bible that you like. Your spirit feeds by meditation. Where you study the word and you consistently feed, you don't allow your mind to wander so long without the word of God interjecting you. When you begin to do that, after a period of time, you will notice that there are certain things you normally pray about. You stop praying. The only problem is that somewhere for us as human beings, we want to get the best of the world and the best of God. Unfortunately, God is not mocked. Go and reorder your priorities. Reorder your life. Reorder your decisions. If you make that decision today, God can start a fresh program with you. A work of restoration. A work of redemption.
Give it 5 years. Give it 7 years. Then let's compare notes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go and reorder your priorities. I've seen Christians who really loved God, but they suffered. They suffered. Not because of God, but because of wrong priorities. They suffered. This is the right priority. To put God first, to put Him second, and to put Him third. That even when you say you are inquiring, you are not inquiring for inquiring's sake. You are inquiring because you want to remain aligned. You want to remain in line with His will. Not because you don't want to make a mistake with Chike, or you want to marry Ifeyinwa. You want to be sure that it's not Ifeyinwa that will kill you. So you want to pray. No. You are making that decision because you know that at the deepest part of your heart, your desire is to please Him. You don't want to do anything that will hurt Him. You don't want to do anything that will make Him unhappy. So you are asking, Lord, I love Ifeyinwa, but is she your will for me? So God's will is stronger than love. I can love you, but love is not enough. I can desire to marry you, but if it doesn't give me clearance, I'm sorry. But this is not just because I'm a pastor. This was the way I was taught to be a Christian. But now it seems like you have to, it's when you're a pastor, you'll be talking like that. No. This is the way some of us were brought up, to honor the voice of God and that which is written here above the demands or the requirement of man. That was what Daniel's friends did. And they landed in the fire. But they came out glorified. Honoring the word of the Lord was what took Joseph to the prison. And he came out prime minister. There are stories in the scripture of men whose decision to stand with God cost them everything. But over time, we looked at their lives and we thank God for them. And my prayer is that today, God will find our lives worthy to be stories that the next generation will see. And that they will embrace and learn from. So that not only will they say, oh, in the Bible, they will say 100 years ago, there was a man that lived in Maryland. And his name was Wenger. And in case you think that God doesn't do that, in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God. And his name was John. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. I will give you glory. And we ask for grace.